huge explosion. Terrible, then nothing else. Darkness and profound silence.
My name is Urbano Ciacci. I'm originally from Cartoceto, in the Marche region, but I worked as a miner in Belgium for several years. It was a warm summer morning on the 9th of August, 1966, and I was at a station. I was ready to return to Marcinelle after my wedding when, passing by the newsagents, the headline of a newspaper caught my attention. "300 miners buried in Belgium." In a frenzy, I grabbed the newspaper and began to read. In Marcinelle, where he was about to return, a terrible fire had broken out. Almost all the miners working in the area had died. In the following days, I kept myself informed, reading the paper as I could, trying to understand how such a tragedy could have occurred.
The fire had broken out at Bois du Cazier, the mine where I had been working for 2 years, as employee number 709. It had been a trivial matter, a short circuit, a small spark, and suddenly 8 liters of oil were ablaze. Only 13, 275 workers in the mine at the time of the incident survived. There were 139 Italians inside the mine. They came out alive.
The safety system of the Marcinelle mine raised concerns even at that time. The support structures of the tunnel were made of wood, while in other facilities they had been replaced with fire-resistant materials. On the 8th of August 1956, at 8:10 a.m., due to a misunderstanding among the workers, a hoist was activated at the wrong time, cutting some cables, including a high-voltage one. The sparks ignited the pressurized oil reserves, and in an instant, the flames spread to the wooden supports, and from there, to the rest of the shaft.
From the incident, all available resources, both public and private, were mobilized to provide assistance. In the following days, additional reinforcements arrived. The schools in the area were turned into canteens and dormitories, and churches were transformed into mortuaries. The searches continued unsuccessfully for 2 weeks, extending a kilometer underground. On the 22nd of August, when it became clear that only corpses remained in the shaft, all attempts were halted. From that point, investigation into the tragic event of the 8th of August 1956 began.
Aldo Michelotti was one of the 139 Italians who were at the Bois du Cazier mine on the day of the fire. Despite working at night, in the morning of the 8th of August, he was still at the bottom of the mine shaft due to a delay in shift change.
200 meters, there were three of us. When the fire broke out and the fire doors got stuck, we plunged under a wagon to take shelter. The immense heat that flared down there caused us to lose consciousness. We remained trapped at the bottom of the shaft in a coma for 3 days. On the third day, they rescued us and took us to the hospital. The other two miners didn't make it. I was the only one to reopen my eyes. 3 days.
Aldo Michelotti had been one of the last Italians to sign a contract formulated under the Italo-Belgian Protocol. But what exactly was this protocol? In 1946, Belgium had stipulated an agreement with Italy in which Italian workers would have been employed in Belgian mines. In return, Belgium committed to providing Italy with thousands of tons of low-cost coal. After the stipulation of the agreement, over 60,000 workers with their families were mobilized, many more than the number originally planned. This was a demonstration of the misery and desperation that plagued much of Italy in those years.
Colored paper sheets gradually started appearing on Italian streets, inviting people to go and work in Belgian mines. They listed a series of advantages that easily allured needy individuals willing to do anything to improve their and their family's condition. Among the advantages stood out the annual supply of free coal, the paid trade journey, the family allowances and the holidays. Requirements were a maximum age of 35 and good health. Those who met these requirements and passed the selection were sent to the immigration center in Milan, later transferred to Belgium. The Italian-Belgian protocol defined in detail how the medical visits, pre-departure checks, and the journey to Belgium would take place.
Although the procedures were very rigorous, there were episodes of irregularity and fraud, but these were only the first of the numerous problems that immigrants faced. The journey lasted between 2 and 3 days, during which the food distribution was scarce and of low quality. Each migrant was issued a one-year visa, corresponding to the minimum duration of the contract. Upon arrival, the immigrants came into contact with the mines for the first time, an oppressive environment they were not psychologically prepared for. The Italian workforce was not aware that they would be designated for such exhausted and dangerous work in the bowels of the earth, despite the fact that the protocol required the Italian government to provide its citizens with adequate information.
About a quarter of those who arrived immediately asked to change occupation or even to return to their homeland. Rarely, however, was a change of job granted, although it was foreseen by the agreements. It also became common practice to subject those who refused to go down to the bottom of the mine to re-education practices. They were kept in prison either to convince them to return to their work or to wait for a large enough contingent to form to be brought back to Italy. The homes of the workers and their family lacked basic services such as electricity, gas and water. When the problem arose of the lack of space to house immigrants, shanty towns were set up in the old concentration camps scattered across the country.
The Italian government was aware of the condition of the expatriate citizens, both for the complaints come to the Foreign Ministry and because several representatives, including the president of the council, De Gasperi, had visited the town and entered in direct contact with the miners. However, the Italian institutions ignored the matter or denied its seriousness, attributing the problem to the inability of workers to adapt. In 1949, the Foreign Ministry sent Aldo Moro, at those times undersecretary, to visit the mining Italian communities in Belgium. His own words described the reality of a job, brutalizing, inhuman, carried out away from sunlight, often in dangerous and fearful conditions. His complaint also fell into the void.
Today, Belgium is the seat of the many institutions of the European Union that proposed to promote human rights and business regulation. But until the 50s, exactly this country was one of the protagonists of capitalist and colonial exploitation. In the Second World War, upset the immigrants from all over Europe, willing to carry out occupations that the Belgians no longer accepted because they were too dangerous or tiring, like the miners' work. Marcinelle's disaster was one of the most horrific in the history of European mining and had a good impact on international opinions. It followed a general revision of the working conditions in mines. Today, we can state that Marcinelle strongly contributed to the introduction of new laws for the protections or... workers and to prevent similar incidents. Even the press, which had given a lot of importance to Marcinelle's events, changed as a consequence. The reporters of all the most relevant Italian newspapers documented with great care both the dynamics of the tragedy and the desperation and misery of the victims. They narrated with a sober style personal stories of immense suffering that arose strong emotion in the country. On the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the tragedy, the President of the Republic, Napolitano, declared,
"Those heroes of work is both an example and a warning for present and future generation, an example of commitment and sacrifice, thanks to which it was possible to rebuild a more just society from the rubble of post-war Europe. The admonition to be vigilant so that everyone's work is always respected and protected in every place, so that such disastrous events never occur again in the future."